Gone South has been a podcast about crime in the American South. But for our new season, we're widening the lens. Follow and listen to Gone South Season 5, wherever you get your shows.
Welcome to On Deadline, your radio news from Odyssey newsrooms across the country. I'm Christy Strausser, Odyssey's managing editor of news. President Donald Trump kicked off the high point of summer with new so-called Trump accounts for families with kids. Here's what you need to know about them from Adam and Jordana in Minneapolis.
Okay, these Trump accounts that we're talking about refers to the sweeping proposal by the administration to create these government-backed personal tax advantage saving investment accounts for American citizens. Basically, like any kid that is born, $1,000, an American child that is born, $1,000 goes into a nest egg for this kid. And these Trump accounts, you know, the child, again, wouldn't be starting at zero. It would start with personal financial backing. So the Trump accounts put $1,000 into the market, into an account that gets invested over time. Now, if a child does not touch that money, does not add to the account, does nothing, doesn't even know it exists, by the time that person is 55 years old, there will be $235,000 in that account for when they retire. If they did nothing with it, provided that the market was, you know, just a regular kind of average market. I think, even though they're called Trump accounts, I think this is a great idea. We know that Social Security, if Congress doesn't choose to find some new funds for it by 2038, Adam, almost when we're going to be ready for it, it's going to be reduced. Mm-hmm. Our benefit will be reduced by a minimum of 20%, possibly even more. So what do we do to fix the problem of people not having any savings, of Social Security going completely bankrupt? You start these kind of accounts and you invest in our youth. And therefore, they have a little bit of a nest egg by the time they reach to 55. Or if they want to access it by 18, you know, they could certainly have $80,000 in there or $90,000 in there. And that could work toward a college degree. Mm-hmm. And they would have access to it at the age of 18. I think these are great ideas. What say you?
I mean, it sounds like free money. So mm-hmm. I think many of us would say, well, yeah, why not? And whether or not Donald Trump has anything to do with it, I really don't care. I want to know because I don't care if his name is on it or not. If it's mm-hmm. actually benefiting those people who it's going to benefit, then I'm absolutely all for it. There are so many things as a country that we fail at. A lot of the failure in whatever it is, healthcare, childcare, housing, feeding people, a lot of what stands in our way often is the willingness to spend the money or the willingness to say, just the hesitancy for us to say these are our tax dollars and are these really truly the best way to do things. And for me to come out and say, absolutely, this is for sure better than other ways we could spend the money. I just don't know. It might be.
Mm-hmm.
I just don't know. The thing that gives me pause about this is it's an opt-in situation where it's not like if you're born, boom, you automatically get that $1,000. You have to, you hope that the parents are plugged in enough and in mm-hmm. tune enough to say, I'm going to file for this and make sure my child gets this money. And again, are we playing favorites by doing that?
Really? So like only the smart parents are going to know about it? So only the smart people?
Or just the ones who are not necessarily smart, just
the plugged in ones. I mean, this should be, you get a Social Security card when you're born in the hospital.
Right.
You know, this should be, okay, here's your diaper that you're going home with. This is the kid's Social Security number. Here are some, you know, cooling packs for if you're sore. And here is the website for you to get free $1,000 that goes into your account. Like this should be, if this is going to be an option for every child born in America, I guess it would be only for people born in hospitals because we can't really police other, you know, maybe home births. And maybe if you're a home birth, you're a very involved parent and you would know about this anyway. I don't know. But we can only do what we can do. And I think if it's an option at birth or even, hey, sign right here and the money goes right into the account. So even the parents that are less interested in parenting, that didn't really want this kid or don't know how to be a parent or just not plugged in, their kid shouldn't have to suffer for that. So they'll have a little bit of a nest egg by the time they're 18.
Right.
Or by the time they're retired, they'll have, you know, some money to, I don't know, maybe buy their first house or, whatever it is.
Right. But some will suffer because their parents just are bad parents or just did not factor in to do this, and through no fault of their own, you know, being
right. But
being
that's
children.
Happening now. That's happening
I get
now.
It. Right. Like, mm-hmm. Boy, it's like we got a lot of problems that
we
just
do.
Be based on things that we just don't fund enough. And that's not me saying, hey, we should fund everything. No, that's not me saying that. But boy, there are certain things that if we really had the will to say, okay, let's dedicate some of our tax dollars towards this, that we could really see a change and really change it for the better. And I just don't know if this is it.
And when it comes to nest eggs, it turns out the president has one for himself, too. Here's KCBS with more.
President Trump earned a stunning $2.2 billion in income in his first year back in office. That's three times more than what he made the year before. Mark Sandalo, where's all that money coming from?
It's coming from either very wise or very corrupt, depending on how you look at it, investments in things like cryptocurrency, into a meme coin business, into his social media platform, Truth Social. You know, the White House says that none of this has been done, you know, with an eye towards enriching himself. And they point out that he doesn't even take his salary as president. So Trump gives up roughly $400,000 a year in salary. He takes $1 and donates it to charity, although it's not clear where that money goes. But the money you just talked about, $2.2 billion, just to put it in perspective, that is 5,500 times more than the $400,000 he gives up. So this is, you know, presidency has been very lucrative for all recent presidents because, you know, Michelle and Barack Obama left office and they quickly signed, it was a $60 million book deal. But we're talking about something very different here. First of all, we're talking billions, not millions. And second of all, we're talking about cashing in while he's actually in office.
Mark, the president was asked about this. He said, well, you know, look at the stock market. He took credit. He said, you know, how's your 401k? I mean, he's right. The markets have been at record highs, right?
He is right. But though, as you point out, he has made triple what he made just last year. And although most people's 401ks are doing quite well, very few people have tripled their income. And here's where it starts to raise some real red flags. I mean, he did things like his investment company, they purchased $5 million worth of NVIDIA stock. When tariffs were high and when NVIDIA was having trouble selling some of its chips, well, they invested this money, and within days, the president announced that they were loosening restrictions to allow NVIDIA to sell chips to Saudi Arabia, which made that, you know, stock skyrocket. You know, they accused Nancy Pelosi of enriching herself by using inside information, which has never been shown to be true. But certainly the Pelosis have done quite well for themselves in the stock market while she has been a leader in Congress. But we're talking there about using inside information at worst. What we're talking about with Trump is actually using his power to make decisions that enriched himself.
His businesses, the president says, are run by sons Don Jr. and Eric.
The podcast Campus Files is back with more stories of scandal, crime, and intrigue on college campuses.
It is not hard to destroy a college.
It's almost like a university under siege.
Listen to and follow Campus Files, available now wherever you get your podcasts.
Jared Kushner, his son-in-law, also involved in that. Is that all legal? Is that allowed?
It's legal. It's just unprecedented. I mean, you know, again, those of us who go back, there was a fuss when Billy Carter, was it Billy Beer or was Jimmy Carter's brother? And, you know, because he might have made tens of thousands of dollars trading on his brother's name in order to sell beer to the public because it was related to Carter. You know, that was totally legal, but people thought it was a little bit shady to do that. Now we're talking about something, you know, again, on a completely different level with billions and billions of dollars. Yes, it is legal to do that. They no longer work in his White House. If they were employees of the White House, they would have more scrutiny on them. But the fact is, his son-in-law, Jared Kushner and folks, they work unofficially for the White House. They're negotiators in the Middle East, but they are not officially government employees.
Here's Tommy Tucker in New Orleans with more.
I was astounded when I heard that President Trump and his family made over $2 billion in cryptocurrency. And Nathan Goldman, professor of accounting at the Poole College of Management at North Carolina State University. Let's talk about cryptocurrency. What is cryptocurrency?
All right. So cryptocurrency is really just a form of digital money. It exists electronically. There's no physical bills. There's no coins. There's no central bank controlling it. Instead, what it does is it runs on what they call a blockchain. And this is a shared public ledger that records every transaction. So if we want to think about what exactly it could be, think of it like you and your friend group are playing video games and you're keeping score in a game using points to see who's doing the best. There's no bank holding these points. It's just a group of friends that have these points together. And the blockchain is like everyone in the group has the same copy of the notebook that says how many points everyone has. That tracks how many points are out there. So when you trade, everyone updates their notebook at the same time. No one can cheat. No one can give themselves extra money. It just keeps track of it, but it's not being controlled by their parents or a bank or something else like that. It's just being controlled by the friend group.
Okay.
The established crypto assets, this is like Bitcoin, Ether, things like that. And then there's other ones that are these like branded tokens, these, you know, Dogecoins, the Trump coins, things like that. Some companies were using... we're accepting Bitcoin for payments for products, like Tesla was doing that for a while. So instead of these being recorded by like your credit card company when you swipe your card or by the bank when you write a check, this is being recorded by this network of computers. And prices are being purely set by supply and demand. And because it's not controlled by a central bank, because it's not pegged to any sort of pricing, what ends up happening is you get these wild price fluctuations. We've seen Bitcoin super high in value. Now it's down to the 60,000 point value. So it's one of those things that you could, because it's not really controlled by anything and it's purely just supply and demand, these prices can go up or down quite a bit.
I mean, does anybody regulate this?
And that's a lot of the problems that we're facing with the cryptocurrency industry right now is that there's not a lot of regulation. In fact, when Trump ran for office, he ran saying we're going to become the center of the cryptocurrency universe. We're going to roll back all the regulations. People are going to have a lot less requirements that they have to follow. And what ensued was a massive rollback of these regulations. And it's really become a lot easier for companies or individuals to sort of take advantage of the system. And I think that's a little bit of what we saw with Trump's finances, that he's been able to profit via cryptocurrency off of his name, image, and likeness. And because there's not as many guardrails in place, because he didn't have to personally invest that much money in this situation in order to generate this cash, he likely took advantage of several unknowingly investors that were participating in this.
See, and that's what I'm trying to figure out. If he did anything wrong, or if he would have accomplished this had he not been president.
Report came out this week. Is report from the Office of Government Ethics on how much of his financial disclosure was 927 pages. And just to put it in perspective, I believe I heard J.D. Vance's was 16 pages, and Joe Biden's in his last year in office was 11 pages.
And
so when we say
925 pages?
Either way, a massive treasure trove of information was released. Many scales above what we've ever seen. And what it shows here is that his crypto-related business took in $1.2 billion in revenue last year. There's another Reuters article that came out that suggests that the net gain for the family is actually over $2 billion. So we're talking, whatever the number is, we're talking massive amounts of money that's coming in. And we want to know a little bit about what actually happened.
Yeah.
So if you might recall, around the time that he got elected, he put out a Trump coin. And this Trump coin sold for lots and lots of money. People were buying in.
Wait, hang one second. When you say Trump coin, this is just a series of zeros and ones, a digital image, correct?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
Right.
Not even a digital image. It goes into the account. You buy, you know, 100 of them. They're being sold at $100 for each one. So you're investing.
So it's a concept.
You know, $10,000.
It's a concept?
And in your, it's just a digital asset that's out
all right.
there.
Okay.
And so you buy it and it's sitting in your account and it goes up and down in value because it fluctuates. Well, the problem is that when he got elected, people were buying into this because he said this is going to be worth a lot of money someday. So you buy it because you're like, hey, this is an investment. It's no different than investing in Apple or Tesla or any of these other companies. They're telling you it's going to be worth a lot of money, so you invest in their company. Trump is saying the same thing for this digital cryptocurrency that he has. Problem is that the price tanked. There wasn't that many people that wanted to buy it, especially after the initial people that bought it. And they put this restriction in place and said, you can't sell it for a certain amount of time. So even if you wanted to dump the coin that you just bought, you weren't able to do so. So it actually made the price, it made the coin even less promotional to people. People were less enticed to buy it afterwards. So Trump sold all these digital assets for lots and lots of money, and then they ended up being worth way less down the road. And this is part of that problem that we talked about with the cryptocurrency. It can fluctuate a lot of value depending on supply and demand. As it turned out, this didn't really have that much demand, especially after the initial people bought it. So people bought it thinking they were going to make lots of money. Then they didn't actually make that much. And meanwhile, the Trump family were the ones that sold it for lots of money, and they walked off with the cash.
So is this a situation where it's worth what any old fool will pay for it?
Yeah, very much a capitalistic market type mindset where depending on the supply and demand, going back to the fundamentals of economics, if the demand is high, then it's going to drive up the price. If the demand is low, the price is going to fall.
So did he do anything wrong here or not? Or did everybody know what they were getting into going into it?
And from a like criminal court standpoint, things like that, he did nothing wrong. This is all buyer beware. If you're going to invest in these assets, that's on you. Just like you can invest in any other company that could go bankrupt the next day. So from a does it feel icky type standpoint? Yeah. It definitely does. He clearly profited off of his name, image, and likeness. He profited off his loyal band of followers that were going to invest in stuff when he said you should invest in this. And he likely knew that the price wasn't going to hold up, or at least it was probably somewhat unlikely that it was going to happen. And, you know, to the extent that he kept saying that you should buy this was probably a little bit mischievous. But again, going back to the criminal court standpoint, he didn't do anything wrong criminally in any way.
Thank you for listening to On Deadline, your radio news from Odyssey. On Deadline is written and produced by me, Christy Strasser, and by Lauren Berry. Subscribe wherever you get podcasts.
Hey, y'all. Poodle and Maddie here from Reality Gaze. Grab your favorite thong, because for the first time, we're heading to the villa for the new season of Love Island USA.
I can't wait to watch Ariana babysit these shiny, oiled-up adults who I'm pretty sure aren't there for the right reasons.
From the home-wrecking bombshells to the absolute wreckage of movie night.
Pull up a daybed and join us every Wednesday for all the Love Island USA drama.
Find Reality Gaze wherever you get your podcasts.